Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back in. Clint Stoerner, I am filling in for today. I am Ron the Show Hughley. We did had a really good time thus far. We are fired up on a beautiful Friday. And let's stop this. We got a big one tomorrow here in Houston, Rockets, Lakers. And on the line right now is Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Brian Scalabrine. Insider calls are brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz and Vance. Listen, Brian, how concerned should people be about the Rockets and their recent struggles? We saw them in the game against Portland, the game against against Memphis. Didn't look great. How big of a deal would you say the struggles are right now?
Yeah, I think this whole season, you first got to understand that if it's all going to come down to Harden in the playoffs, and is he going to enjoy playing with Westbrook more than he did against with Paul? Is Westbrook going to be healthy? Are the guys going to be healthy? But I'd be just a little bit concerned, but it is a long season. But I'd be a little concerned just about defensively not being able to get stops when they need to. And, you know, like everyone in the NBA, you have ebbs and flows of stuff. But when a team is going on a run and you need to, you know, bear down on the defensive end, I've always thought that Houston was that team that got stops when they needed to get stops, at least in the regular season in the past. I don't feel like it's the same way. But one thing we have to be aware of is the NBA this year is so much less physical than it was a year ago or 2 years ago. Those big, strong physical defenders are not allowed to sort of will those games like the Rockets did in the past. But I would be a little bit concerned just about the defense, and do they still have the makeup to stop a team enough to allow James Harden to be, you know, like himself, or Westbrook to have, you know, a big game in the playoffs.
Brian, do you think that the Westbrook Harden combo, the chemistry will come around? And do you think that will allow them to take the next step, whatever that next step may be, beyond what Chris Paul and Harden were able to do?
Yeah, you know, they were, besides losing to the Warriors, which was an all-time great team, that team was really good. Here's what I'm – if I was a Rocket fan, here's what I'd be hoping for. I'd be hoping for Westbrook to – continuously attack the basket and make the right play at the rim. I like the yin yang in them a little bit better than I liked Chris Paul and James Harden together. But listen, Chris Paul is a big time winner and it's worked in the past. But if Westbrook is constantly attacking the basket and finding guys, and James Harden is doing a balance of both with the pull up jumpers, you know, the step back, and as well as getting to the free throw line, getting downhill, then I feel like other people will get involved. But it feels like they kind of got this your turn, my turn thing. And listen, I know both those guys get a ton of shots. It doesn't like they play together. I know they're friends. I know they work out together, but it doesn't seem like they complement each other well right now. But it can all change in the playoffs when if they have the mindset to hit open shooters, then that's when I think like the D'Antoni system is at its best. So Westbrook is a guy the guy averaged triple double. Like, he should be able to get to the paint and make the right basketball play over and over and over again and put a ton of pressure on the defense. For whatever reason, he's pulling up a little bit too much right now, like with the mid-range. But when the playoffs comes, maybe that's their overall plan, is to say, hey, when the playoffs come, we got to stop pulling up. We got to attack the rim. And when we get there, we got to make the right basketball play.
Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Brian Scalabrine joining us. Brian, touch a little bit more on that, man. Do you believe that Westbrook's problems shooting the rock right now are scheme-related relative to, hey, the Rockets? If I watch one more Rockets game and I hear the announcers say, well, they feel like the offensive team can rebound, miss three-pointers better than they can, you know, inside, you know, just mid-range jumpers.
Sure.
I mean, do you believe that just that line of thinking is more to blame for for Westbrook's just spotty shooting, or do you think that's something that he's got to quit taking those shots?
Well, you know, like the NBA, it's funny. The analytics, right, will all point to the threes, but they also have to realize like the hardest thing to guard in the NBA is a guy coming at you full head of steam that can finish at the rim and make a good play. Like, that's why when you talk about like guys like LeBron, right, you guys are going to see him in a couple of days. Like, what makes LeBron special, everyone will say, oh, he's a beast, is when he drives to the basket, you have no idea what he's going to do. You think he's going to elevate on you, but you think he might go to that weak side corner, but he can look weak side corner, elevate, and then kick to the strong side or kick it out to another guy for three. Like, I believe nowadays that is the hardest thing in the NBA to guard. A guy going full head of steam, downhill at you, and then making the right decision to a wide open shooter. All the shooting has allowed more spacing at the rim. I don't understand. And like I said, it could be regular season Westbrook, which is like, hey, he's looking to get to the – he doesn't want to go all the way to the rim. When you get all the way to the rim, you take hard hits. You know, you hit the ground, increases your chances of being injured. And that's why maybe he's pulling up, you know, a little bit too much right now. And I get it. Like, hey, the Rockets don't want to shoot mid-range shots. And I wouldn't want Westbrook to take those either. I would really be fine with him taking just catch and shoot threes. Once in a while, if you have a hot hand, go ahead and shoot it off the dribble. But, man, his special gift in the NBA is his relentlessness to get downhill. I'd like to see more of that from him, because I do believe that with all the focus on Harden, Westbrook will be unstoppable if he attacked the basket. And not from his statistical numbers. It would be the team's statistical numbers.
Brian, you spoke him up. You talked about LeBron as the Rockets are going to face the Lakers tomorrow night in prime time. Look, I know it's what, January. It's not a huge, huge game of importance. But as a former player, to me, I feel like they're circle games. And there are games that attack and look differently. How big of a game, especially with the recent struggles of the Rockets, how big of a game is this game on Saturday night?
I'm not going to say it's must win, right? Like, that's a weird – right now in the regular season, I get it. But this is it's a statement game. It's proving to the world that you are a title contender, right? And right now people are talking about three teams being a title contender. Right or wrong, that's what they're saying. It's Lakers, Clippers, and the Bucks. But, if you win a game, if you match LeBron's physicality, if you could show that you can contain LeBron, then you enter into the conversation. But I think – for the Rockets, they need to get back on track, and they can do that with a big win like this. And I think you'll see closest version to playoff basketball, you know, back against the wall playoff basketball that you'll see from the Rockets coming up on Saturday, that you'll see it, you know, and it'll be a good eye test for you guys or for fans or for the NBA to say, like, how good could the Rockets could be? Because there are just, like, right now around the NBA, there's just a lot of question marks on how good they can be. And a lot of them are centered around Westbrook's inefficiencies.
Brian, I'm looking at an injury report right now. Anthony Davis is out, and it says that's dated January the 17th. So I mean, is that telling us he's out tomorrow? And if so, does that change the thought process behind how big this statement game possibly could be for the Rockets? I mean, it's one thing to lose to the Lakers this time of year, and you go back to the drawing board and you figure some things out. But if you go lose to the Lakers without one of their superstars, I mean, I think that's a bigger cause for concern.
Yeah, I'm with you, right? I think as fans or people in the media, we overreact a little bit more than the team does. But it would be really interesting if they lose this game. Then it's almost like, well, the Rockets. One thing I do commend about the Rockets over the course of the Golden State Warrior dynasty is they never like waved the white flag, and they basically were like, okay, we're trying to win a championship, we're trying to beat the Warriors, and I think for them it's the same thing this year. They want to win a championship, and they're going to see if this Westbrook Harden experiment will work. And I'm not saying they're going to make like any drastic moves, but it wouldn't put if they do lose this game without Anthony Davis, I wonder how Daryl Morey thinks of the next 3 weeks or whatever until the until the trade deadline on February 6th. So I do believe this is a huge, huge game for the Rockets, especially with Anthony Davis out, for them to decide, are they a championship team or not? And I think there's a lot of these answers are going around the NBA right now. So at the start of the season, it was so great. It's a wide open NBA. Anybody can win it this year. And then we're back down to three teams that can win it all. So I think it's really an interesting time for a lot of teams around the NBA, losing marquee games, getting down big to a team, and the trades going forward in the next 3 weeks.
Now, Brian, you said that. You said now three teams, and I'm guessing you're meaning the Bucks and then the two LA teams. Like you said three teams. Okay, I can agree with that. But do the Rockets even have the pieces to even involve themselves in that conversation, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think Philadelphia – Philadelphia and Houston, very similar, right? Like, with Philadelphia, the expectations were really high when they got Al Horford. But with the Rockets, getting Westbrook, like, if Westbrook is at his best and Harden is at his best and Capella, and they're playing, everyone's playing off of those guys, they're in the conversation. But we just haven't seen enough of a sample size of them being at their best. But I would say the exact same thing with Philly. When Philly is at their best, like on Christmas Day, and they beat the Milwaukee Bucks, like they're in the conversation to go to the Eastern Conference Finals and maybe come out of the East, but they're so inconsistent. And I'm saying the Rockets are the same thing. But in the next couple of weeks, you can cement that consistency, or you can be trending the right direction in late March or in April, getting ready for the playoffs. But they have, in my mind, when you have Harden at his best and Westbrook at his best, you're in the conversation.
All right. Appreciate you joining us, Brian Scalabrini. That was Radio.com Sports NBA Insider, Brian Scalabrini. Insider calls are brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Make sure you check out his show, Scal and Pals, on Radio.com and the Radio.com app. It is a great listen for NBA fans. Just search Scal, that's S-C-A-L, whenever you find your podcast.
I love it, man. Look, when you talk about what we just heard from Brian Scalabrine, and he talked about the comparison between the Rockets and Philadelphia, it hurts me. I went to a Philly game when I was up at the Army-Navy game. I mean, Navy-Army game, football game in Philly. We went to the Philadelphia 76ers game, and when I'm watching Big boy. What's big boy out there?
Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid. When I'm watching him play, I just can't buy in. My dude, you talk about lack of – you're an energy guy. You talk about a lack of energy.
It comes and goes with him.
Hey, Chief, go watch a Philly game up close and in person and tell me that you walk away going, yeah, that's my guy. I'm gonna sign him to a max deal, man. Nah, I can't buy it, man. So that pains me just a little bit to hear – that's the company they're keeping. I understand that Philly's more than Joel Embiid. I understand that, but golly, that pains me. From that energy and that effort and that just dog and that want to, I think they're missing it. They're missing it big time.
They're very similar because both teams seems like their two stars don't fit together. And Simmons and Embiid.
Yeah.
And
that's a lot of work to do, a lot of chemistry to build.
That's
yeah,
a big thing.
Fair enough.
All right, coming up, Clint, you got some explaining to do to everybody.
Ooh, who's that, me?
Some explaining to do to everybody. Clint says this, and I can't wait to hear this. So you're not sure if you'd pay Deshaun Watson? You're not sure?
No, stick around.
Yeah, don't say that. That's coming up next. Yeah, welcome back in. Clint Stoerner, I am filling in today. Ron, the show, Hughley. Thanks to Brian Scalabrine, who joined us, breaking down this big match of the Rockets and the Lakers. But I don't want to take – another explain this to me. You say you don't believe four, you wouldn't pay four off?
No, that's not exactly how I'd like to couch it.
Well, I'd like to take a seat on this couch.
Yeah, sit back and let me talk to you a little bit here. Here's the deal. This is contract time, right? Everybody's talking about the next contract. Everybody's talking about the fact that Breeze and Brady and Rivers and all these guys, they're out of contract. They could possibly move contracts up. Then you got these youngsters. You got these youngsters that are coming up, particularly Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes, and you go, hey, we got to pay them. Got to figure out a way to pay them, and you got to build around them. The day of having a quarterback for a tenth of what you're going to end up paying this guy per year, those days for these two organizations are over. And if I'm writing checks, if I'm sitting behind the big oak desk and I got the trophy case behind me and I got the checkbook wide open, I'm going to write that check. I'm going to have it filled out. I'm going to have it signed, sealed, and delivered and be handing an envelope to Pat Mahomes when he walks in the door.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. There's no doubt about it. And here's why, right? The fit with my other hires, particularly Andy Reid, with the other guys that I've paid, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. They done paid a couple of them offensive linemen, didn't they?
They paid Mitchell Schwartz, yep. Re-upped with him.
Yep.
Eric Fisher getting yep. decent money.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, the fit, I feel really good about how he fits with the offensive roster, their ability to stretch the field, their ability to excel in the pass game in an exotic offense. It fits. I feel real good about writing that check to Pat Mahomes.
And real quick, what you're talking about is it's a real check because you know they're going to – Mahomes and Watson, where their age is, they'll jump over with Russell Wilson, who's the highest paid, getting
Coach,
35 a year.
They're talking,
so
about,
they're talking about 40.
They're talking about 38, 37 and a half, 38, 38 and a half in that range, right? But when you hear people talk about Mahomes, they're saying, hey, man,
it's starting.
Hey, hell with the dumb stuff. You know what I mean? Hell with the dumb stuff. Pay the man 40 and move on. You know,
with that.
Essentially, they believe that he's got the power to dictate, not set the market at the next highest number. They believe he's got the power to set the market where the hell he wants to set the market.
Yes.
Which is upwards of $40 million a year. So be it. Whatever. That's not the point. I feel if I'm the owner and I'm watching my football team play ball, offensively, for damn sure, I've seen enough to go, I want this cat right here inked, and I want all these supporting pieces inked and together and ready to rock and roll, because if I don't win, it's because a better team found a way to beat me, got the breaks, or maybe we didn't do a couple of things. It ain't because my quarterback ain't the best in the game. Ain't the most explosive, best fit quarterback in the game right now, right? That ink is dry, the envelope sealed before he walks in the door. I can't say that about Deshaun. I can't, and that's, unfortunately, it's not in Deshaun's control. I can't, if I'm Cal McNair and I'm writing a check, I like Deshaun. I love Deshaun. I love his skill set, but I ain't seen him at his best yet. I've seen Superman. I hadn't seen him at his best yet, controlling and commanding an offense that is damn surefire, locked and loaded, playoff championship caliber offense. So when you're talking about Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, I got one envelope that's inks dry, envelope sealed. I got one of them going, man, I got a lot of work to do before I go invest $40 million a year in a guy. I got to get some other pieces right. Man, I find these other pieces? Can I find a play caller that can do things the right way for Deshaun Watson? Could you imagine, Coach, if you came in here and you said, hey, we're going to run this thing back the way it was last year. Same play caller, same everything. We're gonna obviously, you make you draft a couple guys, you make some moves, you fill your void, whatever, build your roster, whatever little void you got. And we're going to run this thing back. You feel good about writing that check?
I feel good about writing the check.
I feel good, but you're missing. I feel good writing a check to Deshaun Watson. Nobody likes Deshaun Watson and thinks he's more capable of playing at a high level than me. But if I don't have all my pieces together, if I don't have all the supporting cast, if he's in the middle of dysfunction, you're going to pay $40 million a year for him?
I understand what you're saying. I do. I understand what you're saying in terms of, well, because of everything around him, I'm not getting the production potentially what Patrick Mahomes is getting.
It's known versus unknown.
And my thing is, but you got to pay. That's the
sure.
You talk about all the pieces. Yeah. That is the piece.
Yeah.
And you
got
to pay
yeah.
for that. Because you got, and when you have that talent, I believe he has a chance to be a top three quarterback in this league.
Agreed. Talked about right. it yesterday.
Year
agree
100%. In and year out, right? And he's young, and he's got a chance to be that for the next decade. And I believe he will just by the odds, outlast Bill O'Brien.
Sure.
Outlast
okay.
a lot of the coaches.
How about if I couch it like this? How about if I couch it like this?
Because I'm not paying the quarterback because I think the coach is not a good fit.
Yeah.
I can't do that. Not when he's that special.
Well, no. Both these guys are going to get paid. right?
Yes.
Both these guys going to get
you're
paid.
You're just talking about your comfort level.
I'm just talking about my comfort level. Look, if I like signed, sealed, and delivered, when Pat Mahomes walks in the door, I'm going to airplane that $40 million check over him in the forehead with
so
it.
So let me say
when
this.
Deshaun walks in, I'm going to be like, I got to do this. I don't know if I got the right play caller in place, coach.
So you think Mahomes is real, right?
There ain't no doubt.
So if he were.
The whole situation in Kansas City is real.
But you think Mahomes, the play, let's take yeah. out. Mahomes is real.
Yep.
You'd have a problem playing Pat Mahomes if he was here? Let's just say, let's drop him into this situation that Deshaun is in.
I'd have a hard time paying Pat Mahomes if he was out there running an RPO system somewhere, like a running game system, where it's not a fit.
Clint.
Yeah.
You have a hard time?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
We got to figure out.
You got to do. I'm not questioning the guy's talent. I'm not questioning he's one of the best. I'm saying I'd have a hard time letting go of that check if I knew my guy was playing in a system that didn't best fit him. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and then we got to change the system. Now, I know that's what you're
getting at. If I'm going to sit around here and I'm going to go, man, I'm going to let this ride the way it is, and I know my guy we ain't getting the most out of him, but I'm going to stroke you $40 million next year. No big deal. I mean, come on, man. You're going to stroke a guy $40 million and not use him to the fullest?
So what? I hear that.
That's my hesitation. It ain't going to do with D-Dub. That's the dude.
But you got to. So you got to change that part
yeah.
if you're stroking yeah. that out. Because yeah. what would your option be? Just you going to franchise tag him until?
Well, no. You're taking it way more literal than I mean
okay.
it. You got to pay the guy. You can't have a guy like that and not pay him and not move forward. My point is that I feel really good about paying one because of what I got in place and what I've seen and what I know versus I feel good about paying Deshaun because I know Deshaun. Do I know that Deshaun can take a team and put them on his back in the NFL and take them to the championship game in this league? Right? Do I know that? I personally think that if it's the right fit, it's a no question. It's a without a doubt that he can do that. But do I know? I know that Pat Mahomes can do that. I feel, even though he hadn't done it yet, I feel good about what they're doing in Kansas City, that it's championship caliber product. But you got to understand this, show. So, you know, I'm a guy, I firmly believe when you get to the top four teams in the country, in the league, I said this before, you get to the top four teams in the NFL, you make it there to the championship game, you've arrived. Because that game could be decided, but all the teams are really, 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 really good. That game could be decided by the weather. That game could be decided by a field goal kicker, by a deep snapper, right? And I love all those guys, don't get me wrong. But that game, those teams are so damn good at that point in time when you get all the fat trimmed away and you got those four squads, it can come down to just little bitty things. And so once you get there, I'm buying you.
Your reservations is, I just feel like I know if I'm Clint Stern and I'm writing this check, I know I'm writing a check that he won't earn because I'm not giving him the resources to earn it.
You
basically
pay,
and I
100%.
I could get that point, but I still think you got to take a chance.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt. You got to write the check. You got to write the check, and hell, you got to feel good about it. But what I'm saying is you look up in 8 years. Here's the deal: the Texans, they're risking what they're doing right now. They're risking doing the same thing that Dallas just did with Jason Garrett. You get 10 years into a deal and you hadn't won diddly squat. You hadn't made, you built a good roster. You put up some good numbers. You paid some dudes a boatload of money and you look back and you go, for what? For what? Well, I mean, why? You know what I mean? The worst thing that could happen to D-Dub is you're going to pay him. Let's get beyond that point in the conversation. You pay him $40 million and you never surround him with the right people.
Yeah, and that's the part that's so hard because you feel like he's just one right element away.
Coach, this team. This is why I've said from the jump, show, this is where I'm at since the season's been over. I don't care what you do with the head coach. I really don't. An offense, the right offensive coordinator and the right defensive coordinator with this roster, I believe that they could blow the roof off of the NRG over there. I believe that they could be as explosive and entertaining as any team in the league with the right guys pulling the trigger.
Coming up, yeah. You will not believe. Clint found two mock drafts. You will not believe where they have and what they have the Houston Texans drafting in the second round. That's coming up next. Welcome back in. That's Clint Sterner. I am filling in today. Run the show. Hughley still trying to figure out what time did Onyx open. Coming up, I'm going
Look out now. Better be careful. It's been a long day.
Yeah, it's been a long day.
Hard times and bubblegum. Time y'all open up, baby.
Hard times and bubblegum.
It's all I got.
I had never heard that in my life.
It's all I got, show.
Never heard.
It's all I got, man.
I'm still in that. Hard times and bubblegum.
And I just chewed my last piece.
Damn. Dog, I was about to ask you for it.
Oh, yes,
hard
sir.
Hard times and bubblegum. That should be a segment right there.
Why not? We can figure out. You stick around. We'll figure some things out, baby.
Oh, man. I cannot. I've watched the Texans. Like, I looked at this team up and down. Glenn, I can't think of what the last thing with the only top two picks that the Texans have over the next 2 years. They only have one second-round pick in the next 2 years. Like, there's no first, one second, yep. No second next year.
Draft parties are canceled. Draft parties are canceled.
All of them. The last thing that I would think they would draft that early is what?
A running back.
But we got
I mean, it is what it is. It's mock drafts. But I get to digging this morning, and I'm like, it's about that time. You know, you moved seasons over for the Texans. We got some playoff ball to watch, but what's out there? And I'm not going to give any names because I ain't into giving free advertising away. But there's several publications out there with mock drafts I got about four deep, and it's all running backs.
I don't even understand it.
It's all running backs. It's Harris from Alabama. I do like this one.
He's nice.
Travis Etienne.
I like him.
I love him. So if there was going to be a name dropped in there, it's like, okay, I can get down with that one. But I'm still like, wait, what are we doing? Like, what the hell are we doing? Running back? No. I finally found one. Bleacher Report, by the way. I will throw that out there.
Because it's the one that agrees with you.
That's right. That's how these things work. Hell, it's my show. I can do what the hell I want to say, what the hell I want
to
say.
Go ahead. It's got your name on it, damn it.
It's an edge rusher, Zach Bond from Wisconsin. That's what I like to hear. I hadn't dug into Zach Bond yet, but my point is that there is talent in the second round. And what the Texans can't afford to do is go draft a running back when you got a 1,000-yard back in the game. The running back ain't the problem for this football team. The running back ain't a problem with this football team. Carlos Hyde's a good player. You acquired him in a beautiful way at a beautiful time when you needed it. Duke Johnson is a great fit. I know Sean Pendergast, my guy. You ask him, hey, he wants to see more of it. You ask Wade Smith, my guy, hey, I want to see more Duke Johnson. So I think that position is not a position of need. Maybe a position of want, but it's not a position of need. And I was surprised, show, to see so many mock drafts going that direction when it's blatantly obvious to me that the help is needed up front for the defense, and some will say in the secondary for the defense.
Yeah, I know you're a little higher on the secondary than us.
I am. The potential, the ceiling's high. I can't argue with the fact that they let KC run through them.
Clint, listen, I can even be all right if you say we want to improve from Carlos Hyde. I mean, he did rush for 1,000 yards. I'm not saying he's great. He's not special. You know, the element of, you know, the home run is not there with him. But he's a solid back. And if you want to improve that, that's fine. But, man, you can find backs later in the draft than that. Kareem Hunt goes in the third round. David Montgomery, who was solid for the Bears, if he had a better quarterback, goes in the third round. To me, the rule, I have no problem, but running backs can be special, right? And if you look at it, if you start to look at the special backs in the game, many of them are first and second round picks. But generally, you want those guys when your quarterback is not as great, when your quarterback needs more surrounding around. You got a top five quarterback potentially. You don't need to spend a second round pick on a running back. Not to mention that you don't have a first in this year, nor a first in next year, nor a second in next.
Well, show you just got some desperate needs, man, and running back. I love Carlos. I love what he brings to the table. I love Duke Johnson. Now the Travis Etienne. That if that guy's available, boy, it'd be hard for me to pass on. Did you see the twitch that Joker had in that championship game?
No, I like him. He can catch the ball in the backfield too. But still, that's not imperative. And you love him, but with Deshaun Watson. That's one of the great things about having a great quarterback. You don't have to have great parts, especially backs, when you can find. It's just been proven. I mean, look at Seattle. I mean, just think about, look at where they have drafted guys. That Carson kid, they drafted in the 7th round.
Yeah.
Like, and he was one of the better backs in the league. So I just
you can find a serviceable piece. But I'm glad you brought up Seattle, and I'm glad you brought up the running back position. Speaking of Seattle running backs, I need some help. I need some help with a little something. Beast Mode, you know Beast Mode?
Well, I mean, I'm here.
You know Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch? Yeah, I mean,
Marshawn Lynch.
He's my guy. I love watching him play. I love all the antics he has at the post-game press conferences. Well, he gave us a good one after Seattle exited the playoffs. He gave us a good one. And I think it's something that young professional athletes need to hear. But it's something that I need. I need a little help. I need a little help. I need a little help figuring out just exactly what the hell he's talking about. Go ahead, hit that. This is Marshawn Lynch after the Seattle Seahawks lost last week in the playoffs.
Now, I done been on the other side of a retirement, and it's good when you get over there and you can do what the you want to. So I tell y'all right now, while y'all in it, take care of y'all bread. So when y'all done, go ahead and take care of yourself. So while y'all at it right now, take care of y'all bodies, you know what I mean? Don't take care of y'all chicken, you feel me? Don't take care of y'all mentals, because, look, we ain't lasting that long. You know, I had a couple of players that I played with that, you know what I mean, they no longer here no more, they no longer. So, I mean, you feel me? Start taking care of y'all mentals, y'all bodies, and y'all chicken for when y'all, you know, ready to walk away. You walk away, and you be able to do what you want to do. But I appreciate it. Thank y'all.
Show
chicken.
I know what he's talking about when he says mentals. Talking about your head. I think I know what he's talking about. Did he say something about money?
He said bread. That's bread. Money.
Yeah, that's money.
I don't know what chicken.
What in the hell is he talking about with a chicken? What do you think
he said?
About?
He referenced it two or three times.
Yeah, I mean he's committed to it. What do you think he's talking about?
It ain't onyx, is it? I mean, that's what's coming to
you're mind. You're on this Onyx
I just,
stuff, boy.
I mean, I, hey, you know, I can't say what I want to say, but I'm just saying, you know what's at Onyx. Is that what he's talking about? Text line, hey. I need some damn help. 713-572-4610. What is he talking about?
You think he's talking about kids, you think he's talking about women?
Is he talking about, like, food, chicken?
No,
is he literally
no,
food?
No.
He can't be literally just talking about chicken. Does somebody know what chicken is slang for?
I don't know what he's referring to. I figured you'd know. I thought you'd be able to help me out.
What the hell you think I know?
Well, you got a little slang. You got a little urban slang to you, man. I thought you'd
you
be able to help me.
You got a little urban slang
well,
to
yeah,
you.
I mean, and I'm proud of it. I just don't. I ain't never referred to it as chicken.
I ain't never heard nobody talk about whatever it is he's referring to. He said, mentals, that's your mind. He said, bread, that's money. It's chicken children. That's what is coming in.
They're
saying women, too. They all over the place.
Hey, they're just as mixed up as we are. Women. His children. I'm his mother. Chicken is slang for money.
And somebody on a 281 just too nasty right now, man. It's too nasty. It's
I've got it right from the Urban Dictionary. It's slang for money.
But why you say bread though?
Yeah, I guess he just repeated it. I mean, I teach.
I don't know. I don't think
here's
that's
that
right.
I teach and kids refer to girls as chicken.
I don't, be back. I think I need
I'm
you.
I'm just saying it's right from the Urban Dictionary,
no,
man.
I think you need to investigate further on that.
It's a slang term for cash money fairly interchangeable with dough or moolah. I'm just saying, straight from the Urban Dictionary, man.
Hold on, Doug. Read that again.
It's slang term for cash money fairly interchangeable with dough and moolah.
Hey, stop traffic right now. I don't care. I don't know. They may not ever let me come back. I want the text line to start sitting in slang terms. And I want Beat Mac to have to read them and look them up and read the definition.
Hey, you got to keep it clean,
though,
man.
How excited he was. Hey, I got it right here. Hold on. Hold on, boys. I got it right here.
Almost hit a breaking news sounder.
Chicken. Come on, man. Look up another one. Look. That's too good. I don't know. Maybe it is money. Maybe it is. All right. Somebody's saying it's an Oakland thing from the 832.
Yeah, it look.
That might be it. Maybe it's an Oakland thing.
It's an Oakland. Yeah, I mean, for money. He's Oakland through and through now.
No, yeah.
It runs through his veins. There's no doubt.
Man, B-Mac, that done me in, dog. That right there, that was it. That touched my whole life, you reading it.
It's a source of income. What does chicken do? What does a chicken do for you? It lays eggs, and which is other chickens. So it's a source of income. They take care of you.
Oh, boy.
That's good. You learn something every day.
You do, man. You learn something. I was about to say, I just didn't think it was money. You know, my man, he did go to Cal Berkeley. I wouldn't think he would use bread and chicken at the same time. For the rest of the show, right now, I need this text line. 713-572-4610 to continue to send in slang terms that BMAC has to then investigate on Urban Dictionary and read us.
Hey, look.
I got it right here, guys. Hold on just a second.
Somebody done hit chicken heads.
Hold on. Right now, BMAC from the 832, can you look up booty do? Right now, booty do.
Booty do?
Yes, that's going to go B. Double O T Y D double O booty do, and I would love to hear what the definition. I don't care what we're doing, B-Mac. Just jump on in. I don't care what we're doing. I want you to jump right in and just tell us what booty do. Oh my God! And I want you to read it the way I've got it right here, guys. Right here, I've got it. All right. Listen, I want to apologize. I want to take this time to apologize to the Houston Texans fans. I tried yesterday. I really did try to kind of be a voice.
All right, guys, I got it right here. So, booty do from Urban Dictionary. When a young lady has a larger stomach than she has an ass, her stomach sticks out more than her booty do.
Hey, y'all going to get B-Mac in trouble, man. Y'all going to get B-Mac in trouble over here, man. Just reading. Hey, B-Mac, you're popular on this text line here.
God,
Have B-Mac look that up.
Oh man, I'm sorry. All right, I'm gonna try to get this for me because I'm about to cry. I can't take.
Hey, look, I like my chicken, so y'all don't mess around and get me fired over here.
That
all right?
Said booty do, but a woman's stomach sticks out. No, I want to apologize to you because I did. I tried to talk to you yesterday, and I tried to tell you like, hey, man, just take a deep breath. You know, the Texans, it's not as bad as you feel it may be. You know, I still think you can win here, even with Bill O'Brien. I tried to. I really did. And all of you on the text line just told me, basically, in all terms, just go right to hell. It's really where you told me, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Then I saw these Super Bowl odds for next year coming out.
Don't do it. We looked at them earlier.
I looked at these Super Bowl odds.
Scallywag. Ain't got no hair back.
I ain't heard that in a long time. I'm going to get myself together. I saw it on Bets Online. The Chiefs for next year are 7-1 favorite. They're the favorite in the league. Then I got down. They found the Texans. Come on, dog. The Texans are 33-1, tied with the Cleveland Browns. Tied with the Cleveland Browns.
Say it ain't so.
With the same odds to get to the Super Bowl. Come on, man. Now, listen, you cannot be tied with the turmoil of the Cleveland Browns when you got Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, and J.J. Watt. You can't. You keep winning the division. And you know what? That right there must be why you all are so frustrated with everything that's happening. You done gone and won the division and going to the playoffs and won a playoff game, and they got you even with Cleveland?
Think about it, because who else are they even with right there?
The Colts.
The quarterbackless, the team where the damn quarterback just retired, Chief. He's just done. Dundee.
You just pulled over the car and just ran over Jacoby Brissett on the way out of there, didn't you?
He ain't Andrew Luck, homeboy. I don't know what else to tell you. He ain't Andrew Luck. I mean, that's who you're keeping company with is the most dysfunctional franchise in professional sports. And the franchise, that's put together pretty good, but the quarterback just retired. They're big money leader of the organization. Their hope, their future retired. and what did they end up 500 this year?
Yeah,
8-8,
yeah,
7-9, something like that. I mean that's the company you're keeping. And I'd love to say, it's Vegas, man. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. But I got some bank statements over the last 4 or 5 years to tell you Vegas knows what's going on. I don't.
I'm just saying, you said it, man. What stands out with those three teams, right? Those three teams right there, it says the Browns, the Texans, and Colts. The Browns have Baker Mayfield, who looks like he's falling apart every time we see him play. He looks like he's getting worse and worse every time we see him play.
Trains off the track.
We've already talked about it. You have Deshaun Watson. You have DeAndre Hopkins. We've already told you how it appears that Odell Beckham is falling apart and turning slowly before our eyes into Antonio Brown. That doesn't seem to be working. They have talent, but it didn't matter. Like, that team is dysfunctional. That city, just that franchise is dysfunctional. A rookie coach, and they get the same opportunity to win the Super Bowl. You just talked about Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett, Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson. This is a quarterback league. And they got the same odds?
The same odds.
Come on now. And I apologize. Once again, Houston. This is why you're frustrated.
Look, when you looked at it, when you brought it to the table, you said, look, there's no wonder that the fan base is frustrated the way that they are. Look at this. This is where Vegas has them ranked. Yeah, look, there's serious problems. Here's the deal is that the Houston Texans are coordinators away. They've already said that a couple times.
Now, you go ahead. I don't mind you keep nailing that to the head. If it's right and if it's real, it's real.
Yeah, no, I just think that's the reality of it is that there's no dysfunction in the organization. They're extremely talented, and they need some movers and shakers at the coordinator position. Them other cats, they got major problems.
I don't understand it, man. I mean, you just cannot have those three guys on your team and be in the same boat as the Cleveland Browns. I know they got talent. I know they got the pass rusher who I've just absolutely drawn a blank for the Browns, who had lost his mind and hit that kid with the helmet. Myles Garrett, thank you. Thank you, B-Mac, out here just rolling hard. Myles Garrett, man.
Lost his mind and hit that kid with the helmet. I'm thinking, damn, who did he hit with? They got him out on the field.
Yeah, Myles Garrett. I mean, I know you don't know if he's going to play or if he's going to be suspended some more. That has to be just absolutely infuriating to think, like, I got a quarter. But we've been sitting here, Clint, we've been sitting here talking about pay Mahomes, pay Watson, like they on the same level.
Yeah.
And they got them two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And they're the highest, like the highest odds to win the Super Bowl. And you are down here with
33
Cleveland.
33-1, down there hanging out with Cleveland. That's what I'm saying. It has nothing to do
with. And you think it's. Like, you don't have a huge problem. It's not like, this is a travesty.
No, does it surprise me?
No, yeah.
No. I think it's been going on long enough to where the national media has caught on to all the problems that exist in Houston. I think this year, I said it from the jump, this year was a year where the head coach, Bill O'Brien, by design, backed himself into a corner and said, all right, the circle of wagons, it's time to rock and roll. We got all our pieces in place. And if it doesn't work, then the buck stops with the head coach. And that's exactly what happened. You got to a position to where the product on the field in the most important time of the season was 50. Was it 51 or 52? 51-7.
Yeah. 51-7 run
in three quarters. That can't be the case. And so, it doesn't surprise me one bit that they're down there with that group. Truth be told, it surprises me that Cleveland is in the conversation with Indy and the Texans simply because I think the national media is ripping them a new one.
Yeah, right? I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm surprised at that. I've been waiting all week for this, Doug.
What you got?
I've been waiting all week for this. John McClain. I've heard the Hall of Famer. I've heard him. I've heard him before in a lot of different mediums, and I've listened to him on here. I cannot wait to meet this man.
Yep.
He just seemed like a cool, as you would say, son of a gun to hang out with and kick it with.
That's right.
I didn't cuss that time. Coming up next, the Hall of Famer, John McClain. I want to see if he's shocked about this. I want to see if he's shocked about how far down the Texans have come that they're in Cleveland Brown territory.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.